Do things in your life that you can't do by yourself. It can heal your bodies. We heard this morning. It can do something financially for you. It can give you a great marriage, a great home. It can give you a great outlook on life. It can just do so many things for you, but it won't do anything if it's left on the page. We've got to get it out of the page and into our hearts. Somebody say amen. And that's what we're going to do this morning. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's make our confession. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living seed, the Word of God. I'll never be the same, never, 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 in Jesus' name, hallelujah. One more time, come on, hallelujah. A little bit louder now, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I give him praise. How many's happy? Anybody happy in this house? Woo! God is good to us. Somebody say, woo! Wow, God is good to us. And we give him all praise and all glory. Makes me want to shout, like that song says. Amen? Makes me want to shout a little bit louder now. Anyway, you find out where I got that from. But anyway, look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to share with you for a few minutes this morning as we talk together just a little bit. I know we're headed toward our meal outside, but it will be there, and I promise you, you will not be late. We will make sure that everything is ready for you as we get there. So just go ahead and in fact, somebody, you know, if I get carried away and, you know, don't stop when I should, somebody just go ahead and set your clock right now for 3:30, and that way we'll make sure that we get there, or your watch. All right. Ephesians chapter 1. We're about to read the Word of God. The Word of God is about to flip off that page and go right into your heart. It's about to make you feel like you got a fire on the inside of you. It's going to make you feel like you're alive. It's going to make you like you can feel anything God, do anything God says you can do. When you read it, you're going to say, that's me he's talking about. That's me in Jesus' name. All right, Ephesians chapter 1. Therefore, also after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is how we pray for another believer. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, the revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Notice the prayer for you and for me. Again, it's not a prayer of assistance. It's not a prayer that I would pray for you. God, give them something. God, do something for them. God, they have this need, that need, supply it. I understand those kind of prayers, but what Paul is talking about, the real need of the believer is this kind of prayer, that we might receive a spirit of wisdom, that we might get a revelation in the knowledge of who God is, and that our eyes might be enlightened, that you might know, that I might know what is the hope of our calling and the riches of his glory, of his inheritances. You need to know what is already yours. An inheritance is something that has been bestowed upon you, has been given to you. It is yours. You need to know what you already have. Now, notice verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places? What God did in Christ Jesus in raising him from dead, no doubt the greatest miracle you'll find in all of Scripture, because it displayed his exceeding greatness of his power. Exceeding greatness. What did he do? He lifted him up and seated him in his own right hand in heavenly places. Verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Remember, we talked about 2 weeks ago how that the Lord was preparing us now for when we get into the new heavens and the new earth, and we will displace the principalities and powers of this air. You and I will become rulers with Christ throughout all eternity, that which is to come. Verse 22, he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. How many say amen to the reading of the word? When we think about this that I've been teaching about the authority of the believer, we need to recognize for sure And this is the thing that you just have to hammer home in your heart and your life. The authority of the believer is not something that you acquire. It is not something that you get. It is not all of a sudden God says, hey, you I like. I'm going to give you a special gift. It's called the authority of the believer. It's not that. It's not something that you could pray and seek God, and you could take, for example, the ministry that Dr. Cho has left in the earth, praying an hour a day and dedicate yourself to that kind of a prayer life and even have a prayer mountain or a prayer closet at your home or different places where you're still away and you pray, and all of a sudden God gives you the authority of the believer. This is not how you receive the authority of the believer. It's not received through prayer. Prayer is good, and we'll talk a lot more about prayer later on, but that's not how you receive this authority. It's not that you would fast and you would seek God through a 3-day fast or a 7-day or a 10-day or 21 or a 40-day fast, and at the conclusion of such a fast, you would have authority that God had designated to you as a believer. That's not what it is. Fasting's good. Jesus said when he goes back to heaven, the disciples, they shall fast. And so there is a place for fasting, but this is not it. And so it's not a thing that through prayer or something we pray down or fasting that we get. There's nothing I can do in my life that's going to bring this authority to me. There's nothing that I can do in an act of worship or devotion on my part or loving God so much that all of a sudden I have this authority. In other words, just wipe away every idea that you think that you could do this or you could do that to get this kind of an authority. I have two children, and my children basically bear my last name, and they are members of our family. Now, if either one of them stood up to me and said, oh, Dad, I just so wish I was your child. Oh, Dad, if I could only be your child. Wouldn't that be a foolish prayer to pray? They already are. And that is where the authority of the believer comes in. It comes in at the birth of the believer. You have authority because not because of what you have done, but you have it because of who you are. You are a child of God, as we just sung that song earlier. As a child of God, you have His authority in the earth. You have His authority in the earth because what Christ Jesus has done for us. Listen to this. The authority of the believer is inherent in the right of the child of God because of His elevation with Christ Jesus. Because when Christ was raised from the dead, you and I were raised from the dead. When He was seated at the right hand of the throne of Almighty God, we were seated there. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And He says, you hath He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Somebody say, that's me. That's me. Say it again. Say, that's me. That's me. Punch the person beside him and say, hey, you're talking about me. That's me. That's me right there. You're reading about me when you read that. Verse 2. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. Sadly, that was me. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Yeah, that was me. I'm persuaded that in our churches that when we sing the song, you know, just as I am, without one plea, that's appropriate for some of us to sing, but some of the rest of us ought to be singing just as I was. Because I ain't no am no more. I was, but not am now, you know. I'm not am right now. I'm a was. When you can talk about just as I was and come to the Lord and I threw all of myself upon Him to receive all His grace and mercy. Yeah, absolutely. But not any longer. Thank God. We are what God has called us to be. Verse 3, among whom also we had our conversation, our manner of life in times past. We fulfill the lust of our flesh, fulfill the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what we were. That's what we was. I don't know about the grammar of the English there, but that's what we was. That's what we were. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He's made us alive together. Everybody say together. Together. With Christ. When Christ was made alive and raised from the dead, in the mind of God, when you and I said yes to Him, we were raised up together with Him. If Christ is in it, I'm in it. If He's got it, I got it. If He does it, I do it. If He lives it, I live it. Because we're in Him. Now notice what He said in verse 6. He's raised us up together. That's the second time in just two little short verses. He's raised us up together and made us sit a third time together. together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What is this sitting in heavenly places about? It's the right hand is that place of authority. And as Christ had died and was buried and 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth and was raised from the dead and lived and showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, the Bible says, for 40 days on this earth and ascended and went to be with God in heaven and sits by the right hand of God. It's more than just one throne beside another. It's he is on the right hand of God. He is God's one and only and highest and main authority in all of the universe is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I are sitting with him, right there, together with him. And the knowledge of that is what Paul is talking about. That we might come to that enlightenment, that understanding, that revelation of who we are in Christ Jesus, of what Christ has done for us. With that kind of relationship, when we understand that, we don't pray prayers where we beg any longer. When life hits us and hits us hard, and I've been hit a few times, and maybe you have too. But when life hits us and hits us hard, it's not the end of the story. It's not that we are going to depression because we can't do anything about it. One of the main reasons that people get depressed is they feel out of control, and something's happened to me, and I can't do anything about it. This is all going on around me, and there's nothing I can do. And so people get depressed because they have no option or way out. But you never get that way as a child of God. Because if they're a child of God, you can do something about your situation. Amen? Amen? I heard Zig Ziglar say many, many years ago, if you don't like who you are, don't worry about it. You can change. Everybody say, I can change. Absolutely. If you don't like who you are, don't worry about it. You can change. You can change. Well, God has given us that authority and that place with him. And this idea of us just being, you know what, going through the cold and the snow and trudging along through the mud and the mire of life and just barely making our way into heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches us. We are not. We are seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. And every name that is named is under our feet. For we are the body of Christ. Amen? All right. Okay. Let's look just a few things I want us to see. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And to get this idea, just to thoroughly wash this out of our mind, that somehow I got to do something else. Something else. There's a lot of something else Christians. They want something else. And the church, many times, has accommodated them. Brother Hagin taught many, many years ago that when he first started preaching, he pastored for like 12 years. But when he started pastoring, he would have his church services and he would preach. And he was, particularly one night, he preached on one something and talked about, you know, being set free. And everybody really responded to it. I mean, they all come down to the altar. They were all set free. They cried. They hollered. They screamed. They danced. They shouted. They had a great time. They really did. They really did in that set free service. Well, the next week came along, and they were just as bound as it had ever been in their life. So Brother Hagin, honest, sincere, said, well, what I'm going to do? So he said, everybody come back tonight. We're going to preach the service tonight. We call this service a loosening service. So everybody came back that night, and they all got loosed. And they shouted, and they danced, and they hollered, they screamed, they danced. You know, they just had a wonderful time. But by the next week when it came in time, they were all just as bound as they ever had been. And you know, a lot of us are like that. We're looking for the next new thing. We're looking for the next little, you know, tweak on Christianity that somehow is going to do something for us. Oh, if I could just have this experience, or if I could just have that experience. Oh, if God would just do this way, or if this would just happen for me. And we're looking for something else when what you've already got is enough to take care of anything you got to face. I mean, I already got enough. But Christians, sometimes we don't want to hear that part of it. We want something new, something different, something out there, something going to make me quake and shake, and something that's going on in heaven. And I've had a few quakes and shakes and all that. You know, all that's part of Christianity. That's fine. That's fine. But you know what? I'm not dependent upon the quakes and shakes and all this kind of stuff going on. I'm dependent upon what God has already done in me and what God has already done in you. And you already got enough done in you by God to take care of any situation that you come up against. Somebody say amen. Everybody say, I got it. See, once you really know you got it, that's it. He said, I want them to know the revelation, what their inheritance is. And when you realize, I already got it. I got it. When you realize, I got it, then your life changes on the inside. and you begin to exercise your authority. Now then, in Ephesians 1, I sort of wipe away this idea that I got to do something to get this authority. Okay? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Speaks the word, says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? You see that? His power to usward. Now, I'm reading that as a King James word, but it means from him to you. Okay? Something has come from him to you. The power of his power to us word, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, exceeding greatness made it happen. And if I look at that at just another translation, ESV says, his power toward us. Maybe a word you understand a little better. His power toward us. Young's little translation makes it real easy, and it says, his power to us. But every translation I looked up, and about 19 of them that I looked up just on this, and of every translation that I looked up, every single one of them says, the power came from him to us. None of it says, we reached up and grabbed it. Oh, if I could get a hold of the horns of the altar and pray and seek God and shake heavens, then God would do something for me. Well, let me tell you something. A lot of us probably need to do a whole lot more praying than what we've been doing. Somebody say amen. But you don't need to get a hold of no horns of the altar to get this. Because it don't come because you're reaching up and getting it. It comes because it's been sent down. And God has sent it down to usward. Everybody say, God has given me something. Sent me something. God's done that for you. It's his idea. It's not something I made up or something you and I can make up and try to get. It's something that God has decided. Nothing needs to be done on our part to have this authority as a child of God. Now, if you are not a child of God, you don't have this authority. It hasn't been given to you yet. It is the authority of the believer. And so, and when you say yes to Jesus, and you ask the Lord into your life, and you are born again, at that point, you get this authority. A lot of people don't know it. A lot of people don't understand it. A lot of people don't comprehend it. Many of us have maybe lived years and days and weeks and months not really fully utilizing the authority that we already had, that we already could do with something. Yeah, you ever had looked at your checking account? And I was looking at mine the other day and looked at it, and I saw that, and I said, what's that doing there? I said, there's $325 more than what I'm supposed to have. And I looked again, and, oh, I didn't know I had that. And I said, yeah, that is mine. So I adjusted my account. There it is. That's what I'm supposed to, you know, it's $325 more than what I thought. And so I wrote it down, added in, and Sheila spent it. But anyway, that's, no, she didn't spend it. She didn't spend it. Probably she's the one put it in there. I don't know. But anyway, but anyway, it was mine. I didn't know it. A lot of Christians in that category. It's yours and you don't know it. We spend time blaming God for this, blaming God for that. Questioning God, asking God, begging God, has already got it. Already yours. Already there. This authority is just like that. Now, just hold it off, right? Can you have a closer walk with the Lord? Sure. Can you develop your life as you stay into the Word of God? Absolutely. Can you pray and just stay before the Lord and just enjoy His presence? Can you enter into praise and worship and all that? Sure, every bit of that. And we all need to be doing all of that and a lot more of that. But that's not how you get authority. That's not how you get this authority. You have to have the understanding and revelation, I have already got it. I got it when I was born again. It is mine, and I have it now. Somebody say, it is mine. I have it now. It is mine, and I have it now. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. What we really have to do is just come to the acknowledgement of it. Ephesians 1, verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the calling and what the riches of the glory of inheritance in the saints is. It doesn't say that your eyes be enlightened that you might get the hope of his calling, or that you might get the riches of glory, or you might get your inheritance. It doesn't say that. It says you need to have your eyes enlightened that you might know you got it. You see that? That you might know you already got these things. It's not that you might know how to get them or that you might acquire to get them. No, it's that you might know that you already have them. Let me read you another translation on that in verse 18. Scripture says in Amplified Bible, says, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light. What does the devil do? He tries to put you in darkness, doesn't he? So that you can't see. And what God does is he gives us the word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit to enlighten us. So that I can see, this is what I've got. I got it. Somebody say, I got it. Enlighten us that you might know and understand the hope to which he has called you and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, he set apart ones, or the set apart ones. Message Bible says this, your eyes need to be focused and clear so that you can clearly see exactly what it is God has given you in your life. And so that's what it is. It's not that we might have be enlightened to know how to get it. It's an enlightened to know that you already got it. That your eyes of understanding might be open. That you already, you know, if you had that understanding and I had it fully in our lives and we're working on it, we do, and our eyes are open, we understand who we are, and those kind of things. But if all of us had that, we wouldn't take from the devil what he tries to do to us. We would not allow the devil to do the things he wants to do in our lives. And when he comes against us, and you might be in a marriage situation and husband and wife, and you start out your week and you're bickering one toward another and you're fussing at one another and all of a sudden you just can't stand each other and you're mad and all this kind of stuff. If you really knew what was going on, you'd bound the devil on Monday and you'd be in all kind of love by the end of the week. Amen? And love's a lot more fun than bitterness. Amen? Sheila, you didn't say amen. No, I'm just kidding. Love is a lot more fun than love is a wonderful thing. Another song, but anyway, it is. You know, it's like this. If I had a bottle that was corked up and nothing was in the bottle and I had a big vat of water and I pushed that bottle into that bottle would be surrounded by the water. It'd be everywhere, but it wouldn't be in the bottle. All I got to do to get it in the bottle is pull the bottle up and take the cork out and do the same thing. Then the bottle fills up. And it's sort of like that. God has put all of this stuff around us. He has filled us with every blessing that we need in heavenly places. He's given it to us. Everything that we have need of. But some of us got a religious cork stuck right in the top of our head. Well, he just don't know my situation. Well, okay, we don't know your situation. All right. Nee, 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 nee. I have been there before. How many's ever had a good cry? I'm sorry, but I've had a few good cries here and there in life. But after those cries were over, it wasn't no better because I cried. I don't care if I did cry 96 tears, Harry. It still wasn't no better. After I got through crying, it really wasn't. It wasn't. Are we human sometimes and we get hurt and want somebody to pat us on it? I guess, you know, maybe we do. But you know what? That's not the answer that we need in our lives. We need to know who we are in Christ Jesus and rise up above those things. Amen? And don't take the stuff that the devil wants to bring against us. You don't have to take that. We live in a world of they said, so I guess that's what I got to do. They said. I mean, it's just amazing. It's just amazing what the world will tell you to do. All right, here's rule number 1, 2, and 3. And usually when I hear that in life, I do it all the time now. But I've learned it over the years. When people say, here's rule 1, 2, and 3, whether you're buying a house, whether you're buying a car, whether you're going to a doctor, whether you're doing this, here's rules 1, 2, and 3. I said, first of all, we're going to wipe out 1, 2, and 3, and here's where we're going to start at, and then start where you think God wants you to be. And tell them that. Well, you can't do it that way. Well, sure you can. Why not? I have people tell me that all the time. They say, you can't do it that way. Well, why not? Because the rules say. I said, who made the rules? Well, I don't know. I said, change them. All you got to do, change them. Well, you can't do that. Yeah, somebody made those rules in the first place, so you can change them. Right? Amen. And that's where you get when you're in this place of authority. When you realize you just don't have to take all the stuff the world throws at you. And the devil's the one behind them throwing it anyway. All right. Look at Ephesians 1 verse 19. I want to look at several little concepts that will allow you to uncork your life. Okay? Several little concepts that will allow you to move in this authority. Not to get it, because you already got it. But several things that will allow you to move in the authority that God has already given you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Everybody say believe. Usward who believe. You can have it, but not believe in it and never use it. You can have it. It can be fully invested in you. It can be all yours, but never exercise your faith in it, and it'll never happen for you. Yet exactly the same thing will be in someone else's life and happen for them. And the difference, or at least the starting difference I'm looking at, is that of belief. Everybody say belief. When you think about that word belief, I looked up a little study on that. That word belief, it sort of comes from an idea. It's an Anglo-Saxon word, an old English type word. And it's basically two things. Belief. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Belief. Well, when you see the be, it means to live or exist. I be. I am. You be. Be. We live or we exist. Then the word leaf that we have connected to it means in accordance with. In accordance with. So then when you put both of those together, belief means to be or to live in accordance with. To live in unison with, in connection to. Or, when writer said, corresponding actions, if you want to go there. Or faith without works is dead, if you want to go there. But the word belief brings both of those together. If you say, I am believing, well, we'll look at the first part of you, the be. Yes, you are be. You do exist. You do live. But to believe, the leave part connected to the be, to believe together, to have belief in your life, means that your life has actions that go with what who you are. It's not that you just say, I'm believing, and it doesn't look like it to you. I mean, you don't see anything going on in my life. Nothing is happening. There's no action there. I live just like the rest of the world lives. I do just like they do. My whole life is just run by the world, just like the world's life is run by them, that kind of thing. No. When you believe, you have actions that follow in your real existence of who you are to be and to live. It is to live with action. It is manifest belief by our actions. I can see exactly what you believe. You can see exactly what I believe. How? By our actions. And so then, when we're talking about the authority of the believer, one of the first things to enter into that is his power is to usward who believe. So then, if I say, well, you know what, this has come on me in the life, and the devil is just really, you know, raising a lot of problems in my life, and the devil has hit me, and he has hit me hard with every single thing that's going on in my life, and you recognize that it is the enemy, it is the adversary, it is maybe an infirm spirit, it's the power of hell, so to speak, or the power of heavens, actually, that has come against you, and yet you just say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, you don't believe. You be. But the believing part in God would be that you would take action on that. That when you recognize the enemy has come against you, you would stand up in the power of who you are in Christ Jesus. And you would take authority over that situation. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind this thing out of my life in the name of the Lord. Then I hear you say that. Sound like to me. You're believing. Now you might just get a little religiously exercised and do that and then walk away. Well, I guess it didn't work. No, you wasn't believing. You just had an emotional high. And you got sort of turned on by something you heard a little bit. No, it had to get down in your heart, into your life, the be of who you are, and then the actions that follow that, the belief of who you are. Let me give you an example. I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. Lift your hands toward heaven. It's going to be a good one. Everybody say, Father, I am a child of God. I now take my seat in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. At your right hand, train me, teach me to walk in this authority that I might fulfill your purposes. Thank you that I am far above all power and might, and that all devils and demons are subject unto me through your name. Amen. Amen. How many believes that prayer? Amen. Hallelujah. Believe that prayer. Pray that prayer. Exercise that prayer in your life. And when you do that, the devil will, instead of coming against you that day, the devil will say, let's look for somebody else. Might be easier a target than what you might be. They don't want to put out that much work on you that day. Well, no, there's going to be some work on put out on you, so hold your place. We're going to get there. But the thing is this, is you and I have to put actions to what we say we believe. We have to do something. We don't just let it happen to us. No, that will not stand. It is not going to stand in Jesus' name. Amen? I mean, you need to look at things like that. I've gotten bad doctor's report. I remember the one that I got way back in 2011. And the problem that they gave me really, really was a bad one. It was really tough, bad. Gave it to me on that Wednesday. I remember that. And then on Thursday, I said, I'm going to pray about it on Thursday. And I'm going to go before the Lord to talk about the Lord to that. And that was my attitude. No, this can't be. It can't be. Ain't no way that I prayed that Jesus, Jehovah Rapha, for 20 plus years and me have this. It can't be. And I called the doctor up and said, you're going to take another test. You didn't have one. You're going to take another one. I'll pay for it. I don't care. You're going to take another one. And he did. He took another test. And it was clean as a whistle. Everything was like it was supposed to be. And less than from Wednesday to Friday, in midst of that time, the results changed in my body to match what I believed in my heart. And it did. Had one doctor on the report said that people that usually have what you have, he said, what you had, so he said, if people have what you had, they don't get over it. They don't come back and clean like you've been. And I've done had two tests since then for like 10 years now, or since 2011 and now, everyone don't come back like that. And that's what the doctor said, we just don't see that. I said, well, we're going to see it now. We're going to see it now. Well, don't get high and mighty. Hey, man, look, I know in earth, I know something can hit you and hit you hard and hurt you, take you down bad. I understand that. Been there, done that. I really, really have. Some of you have too. But at the same time that I've shed some tears along those lines, how come I can't have a smile along the line of victory? Amen? Amen. Amen? Amen. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Amen. All right. Look, Mark chapter 1, verse 22. All right. This authority... Remember, we talked about this, authorities over devils and demons and spirits and wickedness and evil and high places, all these kind of things. Mark chapter 1, let's look at what Jesus did. When Jesus started his ministry, the thing they recognized about him that was different than everybody else is this man's got authority. Now, remember, without going into a lot of teaching, Jesus Christ he is the Son of God. He left heaven. He came to this earth. He laid aside, hypostasis as it's called in theology, he laid aside that part of him that made him God and lived life like you and me would live on earth. So he could show us how to live. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And so everything that you see Jesus do on this earth, up to the shedding his holy blood on the cross, everything from there all the way up into there, what you see happening is what a man or a woman anointed of God can do. Now, that's a whole teaching to get into, but I hope you have that foundation because that's where I'm coming from today. Jesus is Lord, absolutely. Amen? Absolutely, he is. But he came to this earth, laid down that part of him, that his God attributes, if you will, lived as a man, anointed of God, and did those things that he did on the earth. He picked those things back up. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that. He picked those things back up when he went back to heaven, okay? But while he was on earth, no, he was showing you and me how to live. The thing that stood out about him, because everybody thought he was Mary and Joseph's son, so to speak, and he was in this carpenter family, and he was just a Jewish person from Nazareth, and there's many Jesuses around. That's why I said Jesus of Nazareth, and these kind of things. And so when they see him and this kind of stuff, there's something stands out about him. Here's what it is. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 22, as he is preaching and teaching and talking to them in his life, the scripture says in Mark chapter 1 verse 22, they were astonished at his doctrine. Why? For he taught them as one that had what? What was it stood out? It was authority. This man has authority. In other words, he is a man in charge. When we read about the centurion, that's the one thing he recognized about Jesus. He said, I'm a man under authority, and I have authority. And I recognize, I say to this one, go, and he goes. This one, come, and he comes. You got the same thing, Jesus. So you don't have to walk around just doing stuff. All you have to do is say stuff. Because when you say stuff, something's listening to you, and they respond. You got authority. He understood that. The scribes, they recognize about Jesus. He has got this authority. Look at verse 23. Let's see it manifest. Verse 23, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Remember the authority? We read about that in Luke chapter 10. What is the authority? Over devils and demons and spirits. Not over human beings, over spirits. And so there's a man in the synagogue, and he has an unclean spirit, and he cries out. What does he say? Verse 24, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Are you now come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, not the man, but the spirit, saying, hold your peace, and you, the spirit, come out of him. Now, why did he say that? Because he's got authority. Why did he do that? Because he don't have to take that. He's got authority over that spirit that's in that man. And that man is in the synagogue, and the spirit's in there with him. So evidently, the man is there in the synagogue wanting to do sort of a right thing, a religious type thing. I mean, you know, if somebody comes to church and got a spirit in them, you can pretty well know they probably want that thing out of them. Amen. Or else he wouldn't be in the church. And same thing's going here. And so he has the spirit in him. He's come to church or the synagogue of their day, their church. And while he's there, now notice what happened in verse 25. Jesus rebuked him, said, hold your peace, shut up, be quiet, come out. Somebody said, the devil's been after me today. Why don't you tell the devil, shut up, be quiet, and get out? The devil got my nerves all tore up. Why don't you tell him, shut up, be quiet, and get out? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Tell the devil to get out of your life. You don't have to take that. You can wake up in the morning with a smile on your face. Amen. I lots of times I wake up Sheila in the morning and she'll be asleep right there, and I'll sneak up right beside her. Well, I'm right beside her, but I sneak up right beside her face when I see it, and I say, I love you. And then she'll say, I love you too. I said, no, you don't. You didn't know who I was. You didn't even have your eyes open when you were looking at me. How you know who I am anyway? Just saying you love me just because you heard that. I knew who you was. That's what she was. I knew you was. I knew you was in there. And so we start out our day just having fun like that. All kind of ways like that. You know, life is fun. You can start. You don't have to wake up all grouchy and mean. Get out of my way. Out of my way, everybody. That's the way you get up. You're Mr. Grump, aren't you? You get up grumping, stay out of my way. I ain't had my coffee yet. Amen. Some of God invented coffee, but anyway, verse 26. When the unclean spirit tore him, in other words, the Holy Spirit pitched a fit on the inside of him and cried with a loud voice, okay? He hollered, he screamed, but I like the fact that he cried. He made the devil cry. My Lord, I've seen some believers sometimes, Christian people, get so carried away with life and upset. And I know stuff hurts them. I understand it does. But I've seen people so broken and crying and upset and depressed. I'm thinking, you don't have to be this way. And you're not trying to say to them, making light of their problem. I'm not doing that at all. I know their problem is very real. But I also know we've got a very real God that can give you peace and joy right in the midst of the storm. Amen. I told someone that one time. They said, yeah, the Bible says joy comes in the morning, don't it? And I said, yes, it does. And they said, well, give me this whole day to cry then. But come back tomorrow. Anyway, you can cry as long as you want to. And I understand life hurts, okay? If it pops your time or two and you got to shed a few tears, I understand. But let's just don't stay there. Let's just don't live our life there. Somebody said, I'm in the valley today. Well, I understand you might be in the valley today. But don't pitch no tent and live there. Move on out of the valley. If you're in the valley, you're looking at the mountain that you need to get to. Now, if you're in the valley, you obviously got a mountain on one side or the other. All right. Notice what he said. What happened? He cried with a loud voice. He tore him. Loud voice. He came out of him. Came out. Why did he come out of him? Remember verse 22? He has authority. What does he have authority over? Devils, demons, spirits. He's got authority. That's why he came out. Look at verse 27. They were all amazed. They just couldn't believe it. You know why? They don't have authority. They're the scribes and the Pharisees. They're the rest of the bunch. They're like the 11 people, 11 disciples who are watching Peter walk on the water. I knew he'd fall. Well, you didn't even get out of the boat. You knew he'd fall and you didn't even get out of the boat. Come on now. You 11 full of doubt and unbelief, and you want to whine at Peter because he only took a few steps? And he was beginning to sink when Jesus saved him. He didn't even sink. He was beginning to sink. I've never done that. We got a swimming pool and I've never begun to sink. I went straight to the bottom. There was no beginning about it. If you ever step on top of that water, you're going down unless you God enables you to walk on. And Peter, he walked on the beginning. Imagine that beginning to sink. Look at yourself and you're going down slowly. In water now, going down slowly. That's something, that's a miracle in itself. And them 11 boys in there want to make fun of him? Unbelievable. But there's like that. They don't understand authority. Peter did. He said, Jesus, if you say to me, come, I'll come. And Jesus said, come. He did. Now he got his mind on some other thing. Got some distractions going. Forgot who he was and who Jesus was. And he began to sink. But then he came back to himself, said, Lord, save me. Lord saved him. Picked him up back out of the water. Okay? All right. Look at verse 27. They were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? Here it is again. For with authority commands he even the unclean spirits, and they, the unclean spirits, obey him. You and I have the right, when we recognize the devil and the enemy, when, again, you're not talking about human beings, but when you recognize the devil and the demons of hell and spirits and wicked places and high places, all this, have come against, you have the right to bind them and loose them with the authority you have, just like Jesus showed you how to do. He is our example. Amen? We sing that song, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, that's all I ask. Remember we sing that song? And some people sing, to be like Jesus, but I want to do none of the miracles, don't want to have any authority, to be like Jesus. No. You can be like Jesus, be like him all the way. Amen? And that includes everything, laying down your life for the gospel's sake and giving other people, the whole thing, okay? But the power and the glory, amen? But be like him. Well, look at Mark chapter 1, verse 39. What happens? He preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and what? Cast out devils. That's what authority does. That's what Jesus is doing. Now, go to Mark chapter 9. He's got this authority. He's got this power. And with this power, he tells devils and demons what to do. He doesn't ask the devil. He doesn't beg the devil to leave him alone. I hope you've never heard that. I have. I've heard Christians, I wish the devil just leave me alone. Well, that wish, you know, ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. He ain't going to leave you alone. He's going to bug you and torment you and come against you every kind of way that he can and any way that you and I will let him. As long as we let him do it, he'll do it. And then he'll show up at it. Again, we'll talk about this a little bit later on. But recognize this, because you have authority doesn't mean that you'll never face the devil. You will face him more with authority than you did without it. When you get authority, recognize what's going on. Oh, we'll get into it in a minute though. Recognize what's going on. When you have authority, you've been lifted up in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Is that right? We've read it dozens of times, right? But who else was in them heavenly places? Devils and demons and evil spirits. You've been lifted right up there with them. Now you know what Psalms meant when he said, prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I thought no weapon formed against me would prosper. It won't. But he didn't say it wouldn't be formed against you. In order for it not to be prospered, it's got to be formed against you. No weapon formed against you. Weapons get formed against us. So to say there's no battle, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that in the battle, you win. That's what I'm saying. No weapon formed against us. We'll look at in depth and on that just a little bit longer. But look at Mark chapter 9. The disciples had a problem with this authority. They were operating under Jesus' authority and authority of the divine word himself in their presence. And they had done a lot of wonderful and great things. But they had a problem with this authority when it came to devils in certain applications. Mark chapter 9, verse 14 through 29. But basically, look at verse 17. One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto you my son, which had the dumb spirit. A prime place for authority to be. Because the son's been brought to the disciples. He has a dumb spirit. He is unable to speak. And the reason he is unable to speak is because a spirit has caused him to be dumb. Now, again, you're not talking about knowledge or understanding or wisdom. You're talking about the failure or the inability to be able to speak sounds out his mouth. A dumb spirit. And verse 18, and wheresoever he takes him, this spirit takes my son somewhere. Wherever he takes him, he tears him. And then he foams and he gnashes with his teeth and he pines away. He's in misery. And I spake to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. They couldn't get him out. Now, we've just read where Jesus cast out devil after devil after devil after devil. But here are the disciples who also have the authority. They also have the authority. They're not able to get him out. Look at it and let it be embedded in your mind and your heart. It's very simple. But verse 19 says, he answered and said, O faithless generation. Everybody say faithless. Say it again. Say faithless. Faithless. Remember, his authority is to usward who? Believe. Say it again. To usward who? Believe. Jesus said they can't get this devil out because they are faithless. See the corresponding doctrine on both sides of the scales is one way's up and one way's down. They are faithless. They don't have faith. They don't believe that they can do what it is they can do. They don't have faith. They don't believe they can do what it is they can do. They don't believe it. They're faithless. And the authority of the believer is to usward who believe. Even though you have it, you must be a believer. It is to usward. God has sent it down to usward who believe. It's to us who believe. But we can be down here receiving this authority and be faithless. No, I can't do that. No, I can't do that. I'm just going to stay away from the devil. I mean, you know, he might get me. I don't want to mess with the devil. He's big and he's bad. He'll get me. I don't want to mess with the devil. Shh, don't say nothing. He might hear you. If the devil hears you and comes down on us, oh, he's going to get it. I don't need nobody else making my life no more miserable than me. The devil's been after me all week, about got me, and you're going to make him get me now. So just stay away from the devil. That's what people try to say. Well, you can't stay away from the devil. When he wants to get after you, he'll get after you. And you can't run fast enough to outrun him. You're going to have to turn around and stand. And having done everything to do to stand, therefore, and stand in the clothing and the armor of Almighty God and come against him. We are the resistance. The French would say the resistance. We are the resistance. We are in the earth today and we are the resistance. The world has a system going and you and I are the resistance to that thing. Right? So everybody say, urgh! Say again, say, urgh! We're resistance. I resist. I resist that stuff. And they tell you stuff in the earth today that, you know, a man can dress up like a woman and he's calling him a woman. You better call him one. Urgh! I resist that. You being, you know, just what is it, narrow-minded bigotry, all this stuff. I resist that too. In fact, I'm the only normal one in the crowd. Tell them that. It's all you guys that lost your minds, not me. If I brought my dog in here and told you he was a cat and he went meow and looked just like my dog, you say that dog's crazy. But you bring a man or woman and dress them up like the other and they say they're a man or woman, you don't say they're crazy. Oh no, they just got a choice. They made a bad choice of what they got. They had a wrong choice. They done went nuts. Somebody say, how can you say all that? Because I got authority. Amen. Everybody say, I got authority. This world needs to be told some stuff. We just all keep sitting by and setting aside and letting them act crazy and do crazy and act like it's half normal and that kind of stuff. And want them to accept all kind of things. My God, it's unbelievable. You, I love these churches. I do. The United Methodist Church is facing in May of this year and getting ready now to form it. And what they're going to do in the United Methodist Church, which basically is you can go to gayfriendlychurches.com and you can look up and say, where can I go to church in Lawrence and go to a gay-friendly church? And United Methodist Church, bless the Lord, both of them that we have in Lawrence, one up Main Street and one up the road, they're both going to come up as gay-friendly. Now, I'm gay-friendly too. But I'm friend enough to tell you the truth. And if you don't get out of that lifestyle, you're going to bust hell wide open. And you're going to make a fool of yourself all the way there. Well, anyway. But anyway, the United Methodist Church is considering a thing. What they're going to do is this, because some in the United Methodist Church are resisting. There's and there they call them on this branch. Of, they believe the scripture. They believe marriage should be between a man and a woman. But they're about 30% in the United Methodist Church. So the United Methodist Church doesn't want to split the church. So what they're going to do, they're going to have the same, or if they're proposing, I don't know if it goes through, they're going to proposing that we have the same headquarters, we have the same allotments and finances that come into the headquarters, we have the same buildings and everything that we have, but within this we have two divisions. We have the group that is more traditionalist, narrow-minded bigots. We have the traditionalist, so they said. And then we have these understanding, progressive other people on the other side that are just wonderful and are gay as a $2 bill. They're on the other side. And that's their thing. That's what they're saying they're going to do in May. The Wesley brothers would, not in the grave, thank God, I believe they made it to heaven. I really do. But the Wesley brothers would turn over in their grave if that were an option for them. To know that the church that called their name Methodists, that said there is a method to serving God, to where in our life we have certain practices that we go into Bible reading and Bible study and witness and testimony, and these methods of the holy club that John Wesley, you know, created at the beginning, where people wanted to pull away from the world and live righteously. My, look where they went to. Somebody needs to stand up and say, you guys are nuts. I mean, it's ridiculous. And there's some people on the earth, you and me, they need to stand up in our authority and just tell people, eyeball to eyeball, I love you, but you're nuts. I love you, but you're wrong. You don't have to say the word nuts. You know, that's just me. I love you, but this is wrong. No matter how much it's approved or how much they try to, it's still going to be wrong. Even if I haven't changed my mind, which I'm not, it's still going to be wrong tomorrow. Even after I change, if you got me to change my mind, it'd still be wrong. There are just some things that are right and there's things that are wrong. And I think we wouldn't even be having this discussion if we were in the 60s. Some of these people would be laughed out of Dodge. We wouldn't even be having some of these discussions if we were in the 70s or in the 80s. We wouldn't be having some of these discussions, maybe even the 90s. But you know, when the church is silent and good men sit and do nothing, then wickedness is going to prevail. So we need to stand up in our authority. Amen? Look what it goes down. Look what happens. Faithless generation, that's your problem. You need to exercise your faith. Jesus, how long will I be with you? How long will I suffer you? Bring him to me. Bring him to me. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him straight with his spirit, tear him. See, just because that you have authority over the devil don't mean the devil's not going to pitch one last fit. One last hurrah. It don't mean the devil's not going to just pitch his fit. Some people say, I've been praying for my husband to get saved. He got worse. Okay. We got some movement now. We got something happening. We know something's going on. That's a good sign. He's miserable now. Well, good. Well, I don't want him to be miserable. Yeah, let him be miserable. People talking about their children. Pray for God to save them, but I don't want them to be miserable. Well, let them be miserable. Let them be miserable and find out there's a goodness in God, and that can lead them to repentance. And this world is hard. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. Until you quit transgressing, you're going to have a hard life. There's another fact that can't be changed. All right, look at verse 20. They brought him unto him, and he saw him. Spirit tear him, fell on the ground, wallowed in foaming. He asked his father, how long was it ago since he had this? He said, of a child, verse 22. Oftentimes it cast him to the fire, into the waters, destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, well, if you can believe. Now, Jesus had the authority. We've seen it happen. But what's got to happen? The power is to usward who believe. Jesus said, you're going to have to believe. Jesus didn't say, you're going to have to cast the devil out. You don't have to. Jesus didn't say that this devil that's been warring against you, you're going to have to get strong enough in the Lord to resist him and he can go. He didn't say that. What Jesus said, I can cast him out. That's not the issue. The issue is, can you believe? You see that? The issue is, can you believe? You'll never have one bit of authority unless you believe you got it. Already got it. How many believers am I speaking to? Somebody say amen. All right. And then he said, all things are possible. Verse 23, to him that believes. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And Jesus saw the people come running together. He rebuked the foul spirit, said to him, the spirit again, you dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter no more into him. Get out and don't come back. Amen? And then the spirit cried. Got a lot of devils crying, aren't they? Spirit cried and rent him sore and came out. And he was as one dead. Insomuch that the many said he is dead, but Jesus took him by the hand, lifting him up, and he arose. You see the authority that's at work in Jesus' life, and you see the limitations is there where doubt and unbelief is. You see a limit to that authority. disciples couldn't do it. Jesus could. And why could Jesus do it? Because there's belief, and Jesus knows who he is. He has the authority to do it. The disciples have the authority to do it. They don't have the faith to do it. Jesus said, you're faithless. That's your problem. I mean, it's a faithless generation. Ain't nobody around here got any faith. And you guys don't have faith. And because of that, you didn't get him out. Okay? It's that belief that we've got to have. We've got to become a believer. You know, let me ask you something. What would it hurt us to believe? Somebody said, well, I might believe and fail. Newsflash. You already failed. You already failed. We have already failed. I've already failed enough. How about you? We failed enough. I mean, it's not that. So why not go ahead and believe and stand up in your authority, and then in the midst of that faith and authority of who you are in Christ Jesus, just let the world become amazed at what takes place and happens in your life. Amen? Just be amazed at what takes place and what happens in your life. Let God do something that amazes the world. And they look and say, how? How could this have happened? What went on in your life to this take place? And then you got an opportunity to say to them, Jesus. It's Jesus. He's made the difference. He's the one that made me who I am. And we're going to look about this a little next week, because without him, we aren't anything. Can't do anything. It's all kaput. This is a done deal without him. But thank God we are not without him. I believe. How about you? Stand up with me this morning. Let's make our confession as we pray together. I want to lead you in more prayer once again here in Jesus' name. We pray. Stretch your hands toward the heaven. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Anything going on in your body, your heart, your spirit, man, not where it ought to be with God, not right with him, something that you have need of in prayer in your life, and you need the Lord to do something for you this morning, then we're going to believe God to touch you just now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in the name of the Lord, pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, I am a child of God. I now take my seat in heavenly places in Christ Jesus at your right hand. Train me, teach me to walk in this authority that I might fulfill all your purposes. Thank you. That I am far above, say it again, far above all power, all might, and that all devils and demons are subject unto me through your name. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. We're going to pray before we go out. Bless the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. If you got some kind of sickness, disease in your body, put your hands on yourself right now. If there's something that your body needs to do to be corrected, if you're believing God for something, performance of your body that is not where it is supposed to be, something's going on in your body, put your hands on yourself. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are the Lord God that heals us. We bind the devil, demon spirits, Lord God, that come against your children to give us infirmities of life. And in the name of Jesus, we command those devils to go in the name of Jesus, to leave, to depart, and to enter bodies no more. Now, Father God, heal bodies, Lord God, from all that is against us, O Lord. And God, any issues of our bodies, Lord God, where that need is, Lord God, to be what it is supposed to be fully recovered and to function normally, Father God, heal in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody say heal. In the name of, say it again, say heal in the name of Jesus. Now say this, say be healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Expect and believe a change in your body. Expect and believe a change in your body. In the name of the Lord, expect and believe for a change in your body. And report the same to the Lord, testimonies from this very day. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father God, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Almighty God. Thank you, Father, for the love that you give each of us in our hearts and our lives that causes us to love one another, Father God, to fellowship in this family of believers. And Father God, bless us, Lord God, as we partake. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. All God's people say amen. Amen.